God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please have a seat. Well, we continue with the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi is a tough book because we're at a point in the history of Israel, anyway, where folks have really kind of lost their way. If you remember, just by way of a quick recap, the nations of Israel, the northern kingdom has been carried away and are dispersed forever. The southern kingdom was carried away to Babylon. They're there for 70 years, and although Ezra and Nehemiah kind of lead them back to Jerusalem, and they sort of rebuild the temple and the wall, it's kind of a third world version of what it used to be. And 100 years go by, and they've gotten to be very, very, very lax about their whole belief. Part of it is because, well, if God hasn't come back and rescued us after all this time, maybe He's still not around. So they got lazy. They got complacent. They got to a point where they were just kind of going through the motions. And so it has a relevance for us today, and we're going to see that. And so turn to your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2. And the chapter 2 is really addressed to the priests of his day. But it's really trying to address the whole issue of the complacency that's going on. So certainly the priests have a certain responsibility, but we're going to see where that leads us. So before we get into the text, let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to your word. So sometimes it is hard to hear. We know that it's all there for our good. So Father, we pray that you would strengthen our hearts to hear tough scriptures, that we might learn from them that which you would have us learn. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Malachi chapter 2. Before we dive into Malachi's address to the priest, we need to be clear on who is a priest then and who is a priest now. No collar here. I'm not a priest. By the way, when I was doing my Civil War stuff, I thought it would be cool to get you buy these collars and they snap on, and it looked really cool. But it was horrible. It scratched the itch, so we got rid of those right away. So I don't know how people do that. Anyway, then it was pretty clear who the priests were, right? They were supposed to be of the tribe of Levi. They and they alone were supposed to lead the people to worship. They had the responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the people of God. That was then. This is now. So now we don't have a Levite priesthood. But as we heard in our call to worship this morning, the royal priesthood is us. Let me revisit that again. It says, but you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. But in that 1 Peter 2, you go back a few more verses. That's the 1 Peter 2, 9. But if you go back up a little further in 1 Peter 2, 4, it says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That word was written to us, the Christians. So we are now the priesthood. So Malachi is going to be talking to the official priesthood of his day, but kind of keep in mind that the priesthood today is you and me. So let's begin. We'll start with verse 1. And it starts out by saying, and now, O priest, this command is for you. Some might be tempted now to check out because, of course, this is obviously not for us, or is it? The connecting point is this term priest. Because it was not only used to identify a certain group of people in the Old Testament, but it also described every believer in the New Testament. The Bible teaches that you and I are priests. We are set apart to be involved in worship and sacrificial service. We are all set apart to be in worship and offer sacrificial service. That's what it means when the Bible tells us, be holy as I am holy. The word holy means to be set apart. It falls on our shoulders now. In fact, in Revelation 1:6, it says, and he has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. So the burden is on us now to fulfill that role of priest. So every believer is a priest, and as such, is set apart for worship and service. And just as priests in the Old Testament were to point people to God, each of us is called to lead others upward, point them to God. Unfortunately, it's kind of easy to forget our function. So as always, the question is, so what are we supposed to do? Well, I'm going to give you five things that you should do. But the overriding message, if you get nothing out of today's message, I want you to come away understanding that as a royal priesthood, as the priests of the church today, we all collectively have the responsibility to lead people to Christ. And I'm not talking about evangelism, although that's a good thing and that's a great way to start. But you lead people to Christ in many, many ways. It's being a Christian out loud. It's being a Christian, letting people know. If I were to ask all the people who know you, or let's be modern, okay? If I were to actually talk to everybody in your Facebook friends list, would every single one of those people know that you were a Christian? I would hope so. If I were to go through your telephone contact list, and if it were possible to talk to everybody that you have as a contact, would all those people know that you're a Christian? I'm not saying that you actually evangelized to them or reached out to them, but would they just kind of know that you were a Christian? That's what it means to lead people onward and upward. You lead by evangelism, but you certainly also lead by your life. And as the priests, that's what we're supposed to do. So five things. Here's the first one. Resolve to listen. Resolve to listen. Go to the text. Verses 2 and 3 says this. Remember, he's talking to the priest, but he's also talking to us. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. Wow. Yeah. Now, depending on the translation you have, the actual word in the Greek that they use, the translated dung, which is kind of the more common one, is also sometimes translated as offal. And what it means is when all these sacrificial animals were taken up to the temple, they were killed and they were, remember all the junks inside, if you've ever gone hunting, you got to clean that out. That all that junk before they put it on the altar to burn, that's the offal and the dung. That's what he's talking about. He's going to spread that on your face. The blessings, priests, that you're offering to me, I'm not going to accept that. That's pretty hard.